Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and it is Monday, March 25th. And listen, that's a big day for a lot of reasons, and I'll talk about them. Everybody pretty much knows what's going on, but here's the deal. First, this was supposed to be the first day of Donald Trump's first criminal trial, but it got moved up. And as we all have learned during the day, it's been moved up now to April 15th. So Donald, who wanted the date for the trial to actually be considerably later, and it depends on how you look at it as to what he really wanted. He asked for a 90-day extension, and he'd have probably asked for 90 more days after that if he'd have gotten it. But what some person has said, whoever it was, that Donald's preferred date for all the trials is the same. Never. However, that's not what the judges are dealing with here. And what they came up with was April 15th. And that's a good date. Just a little extra time so they can sift through this additional paperwork that showed up. And let me say about that additional paperwork, the judges are not very happy with how that's really transpired, because here's the problem. The Trump lawyers knew that there was additional paperwork, and they waited pretty late in the process to ask to have the documents delivered intentionally, so they could then turn around and say, we haven't had this documentation long enough. We can't go through these papers. We don't know what's here. We need time. Our due process is being violated. Okay, so that's their story, and it didn't fly because the judge understood very well what the Donald Trump playbook is, and that's the end of it. It's April 15th for the criminal trial. The jury will begin to be picked on that date. And you can figure that if it takes a couple of weeks to pick the jury, if it does, and it might, at that point, you'd be looking at May 1st, and 6 weeks, which is what they're talking about for the trial, and then add in three additional weeks for Donald Trump's hysteria and trying to mess things up. And basically what you come up with, May, June, July. So you're looking at July 1st. So by July 1st, you could have Donald Trump officially designated as a criminal. He can be sentenced. He can be screaming his guts out, which is what he likes to do. He was doing that today. As many people said, he was melting down. The meltdown initially. Oh, look who's here. Hiya, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great. And, you know, I almost called you earlier, and there was just so much going on today, and I never got to it. And so really glad to see you. And
same here.
And let me say that there's so many great things going on today with Donald. Oh, I mean, this today is like just a phenomenal day. All these great events, and it's exceptional. Anyway, I've talked a little about it. Clearly, he is. Well, he was melting down earlier because it was approaching deadline, and he hadn't gotten any decision on the $450 million bond.
Hmm.
However, I'm going to put that aside just for a minute because I really want to talk about that bond. But I will say that any way you cut it, by July 1st, Donald Trump could be convicted. And he's probably going to lose that case that he's currently facing down in New York City. And at that point, he's going to be dealing with a conviction. I mean, the paperwork is so clear cut, and the witnesses who are going to tell what they know, which is of course Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels, and then the people in Manhattan in the prosecuting attorney's office will go through with the jury an explanation of how this effort by Trump was aimed at trying to hide information, number one, from the public before an election. So that's election interference. And number two, he was doing it in an illegal fashion because he phonied the books. So the phonying the books part is a misdemeanor. When you add in the additional attempt to cover up what was going on so that the public would be unaware right before an election, that becomes the crime that adds on to the misdemeanor, which makes it a felony. And I can tell you right now, there are about 31 counts of that, and or 34, whatever it is. And Donald is going to be convicted. And they're I'm going to tell you what he's going to get. I'll tell you in advance and you'll see. He's going to get between 5 and 10 years in jail. And the problem is that a lot of people wonder, what about the Secret Service? I mean, the Secret Service aren't going to sit in jail with him. So how's that going to work? Do they have to send him home with an ankle bracelet, or, you know, how does this work? And beyond that, he's going to appeal. And then the question becomes, what will the system do to him at that point? For example, Peter Navarro, who was convicted, you know, a week ago or so, and he got 4 months, and that was for avoiding a subpoena illegally. And of course he was convicted because that's what he did. And now he wants to appeal, and it's on appeal for him. That's fine. And here's the deal. He went to the court and he said, well, I'm going to appeal. So just let me sit outside and run around while I wait for the appeal. And then if I win, then I never have to go to jail. And if I lose, then you can send me to jail. And the court said, forget it, pal. Go to jail right now and do your 4 months. And I realize it might be 3 months with good time, all that business.
Right.
But 3 months, listen, if Donald Trump had to spend 3 months in jail, I'd be satisfied. And I'm sure he's going to get between 5 and 10 years. So that's part of the story.
You know, now, what I love to see, what I read today, is that his son, got on, has stated that Donald had went to all of these multi-billion dollar companies asking for a loan.
Yeah.
And they laughed at him.
Well, of course.
They laughed at Trump. I'm like,
he doesn't pay.
I couldn't hold it. I think I laughed for 10 minutes. I would be embarrassed to just even admit that I went to ask companies that he probably did business with in the past, and they said, we're not giving you shit.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the deal. And this is one of my favorite stories. And I may have told you this one already. I don't know. But at any rate, at the Trump Hotel, they had a lot of pianos throughout the hotel. Mm-hmm. So Donald asked a piano tuner to come and tune all the pianos. And this guy went through the entire hotel and got all the pianos, tuned them all, everything perfect, comes back down, tells Donald he wants to get paid. And Donald was being like you. He was laughing hysterically. He says, come and get it. It's not happening. I'm not paying. Go. And I know people don't believe this. They think, oh, well, Kasem's making it up. Well, I'm not making it up. It's been told by many people who were at the hotel. He just wasn't going to pay the piano tuners, and he didn't. You know, that's just how he is. He doesn't pay. So why would somebody give him $450 million? But this next thing I'm going to say is the problem that we face in the country.
Uh-huh.
And that's what happened on the bond, because the bond was $450 million and it was lowered by the appeals court to $175 million. Now, $175 million is not chopped liver, as they say.
Right.
It's a lot of money. Uh-huh. And the point is, he might not even be able to come up with that. But we will find out. Now, of course, Donald is running.
Well, we'll find out when he can't come up with the $500 million.
No, that was today. There is no more $500 million. It's now $175 million.
Oh, it went up?
No, down.
Why? Well, I missed that. Missed that because I've been reading all these.
Yeah.
No. All this news stuff today, and I'd have missed that one.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, the appeals court lowered it. They said, we're going to bring it down to 175.
Now, why?
I'm going to talk to you about that right now. That's what I want to talk about. So in the first place, you know, there's a phrase that was attributed to Abraham Lincoln, which was during the Civil War when he cut off habeas corpus so that people did not have their rights. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he said that, you know, we're in the middle of a civil war and these people are insurrectionists and we can't give them rights that we would give to other people. And he then said, the Constitution is not a suicide pact. Okay, so that was Lincoln. Now, in later years, there were two other justices that used that same phrase when they wrote opinions for the Supreme Court. One was Justice Jackson, Robert Jackson, and the other was Justice Arthur Goldberg. The Goldberg phrase was used in the early 60s, so that was, say, 60 years ago. And again, this whole idea that the Constitution is not a suicide pact. So I bring that up for this reason. We want to protect everybody's rights. Now, I understand some people are more equal than others, and that's because some people have power, some people have wealth, and they get really great attorneys, and they get things that poor people would never get. So that's number one. But here's the problem with what happened with Donald today. The court looked at the numbers and they probably said the following. First, $450 million might have been on the edge of what was appropriate. In other words, it could be scaled back a little bit. It could be. Now, maybe not, but it could be. So that's number one. The second thing is, you know, Donald's screaming he doesn't have any money and he can't get this and he can't get that.
And we all know that's BS.
Well, here's the thing. Maybe he has no money. But
I don't believe that. Well, I just seriously, you know, just don't believe that.
He's got $100 in his pocket that he got off his MasterCard. I understand that. But beyond that, okay, I wouldn't expect that he's got much because he's an idiot and he's a failure, a loser. He loses all the time at everything. He really has. In fact, the only thing he's ever done that made him any money was when Mark Burnett got him that television show, and that allowed him to make some money for a while. But he blew all that anyway. So, I mean, this guy has been a loser. He is a loser. Everything he touches fails. The tie company failed. The steak company failed. The university company failed. Everything he does fails. And besides that, he's a fraud. He's a grifter. Everything he does is a lie. But here is the key to this. This is why the suicide pact comes into effect. The appeals court clearly looked at everything and decided that in all fairness, that anybody else would get that number lowered a little bit to give them some breathing room, to give them the ability to go to the appeal, to give them the opportunity to get their due process rights and to be treated fairly within the system. The problem is
to be treated fairly. That's, you know, that word right there. Trump has not treated anybody fairly.
That's the problem. That's what I was going to say. That is the problem. Donald Trump knows the system and he plays it. And the way he plays it is he uses the fairness that we provide to people in order to take advantage of everybody and every situation. And so, for example, today, this is the suicide pact part, because what we do is we give this man his rights and then he uses it in every way imaginable to hurt other people, to hurt the system, to play the system, and to end up, as everybody likes to say, and my brothers are telling me this today, they say he snuck out of it again and they'll never get him, you know, all that nonsense. And here's the thing. They're going to get him. They really are. First of all, they're going to get him at the criminal trial in Manhattan. I mean, that he's going to lose, and he's going to end up with a conviction and a sentence. And that sentence is going to be 5 to 10 years. I'm telling you that right now. And when he gets that 5 to 10 year sentence, that's the minimum he's going to get. He might get more. But if he gets 5 to 10 years, what's going to happen is they're going to say that, I'm saying now, his lawyers are going to say, well, let him out during the process of appeal. And that is where it's going to get interesting. Because if they let him out of jail during the process of appeal, here's what Trump does. First of all, he threatens judges. He threatens members of the courtroom. He threatens and intimidates jurors. He does everything that you're not allowed to do in our system and that nobody else could possibly get away with. But everybody's trying, as I'm saying, to cut him a break and give him his full constitutional rights. And that's where I'm saying it's treating the Constitution as a suicide pact, which the justices have said we should not do, and which Abraham Lincoln said we shouldn't do when we're in the middle of a civil war. And frankly, we are in somewhat of a war. We call it the culture wars, but it's gone far beyond just the culture wars, because Donald is planning in this current election to do exactly what he did in 2020. When he loses, and he's going to lose, but when he loses, he is going to say it was rigged. He's saying it now. He's telling everybody right now that it's rigged. So this is what he does. And the problem is, if we allow him to game the system like this every time as part of the suicide pact that we envision as the Constitution, I mean, the Constitution should be followed. I agree.
I think his numbers are dwindling down.
I think they are.
But I think they're dwindling down. I get to see it.
He's going to say he won.
I travel all through St. Louis and I have not seen one Trump sign.
Yeah.
Well, not one.
Yeah, but they're not all one. Over. They're all over the rural areas, though.
All the farmers. City, county, Creve Coeur, all of them other places. Nope.
Yeah.
St. Paul, St. Peter's, no.
But again, you have to remember.
Ledoux, no.
You have to remember the people who are supporting him. People who are currently, I mean, right at this very moment, they're sitting in their homes and they're eating with the one spoon they've got in their house. They're eating their little can of dog food for the day. And the problem is when these people eat the dog food, I mean, they're desperate. It's not funny. It's a joke. It's no joke. I mean, these people are desperate. They're eating dog food because they can't afford food, and they'll send their last dollar to Donald Trump. Their last dollar. So, you know, that is a difficulty. I mean, you're dealing with people clearly who have no education. I mean, they don't know what they're doing.
It was a song back in the day, money, power, respect. And as I look at this and I hear this, you know, and I compare this to other people of the African American descent who has a lot of money, some power, and a lot of respect. There's no way possible that them in the same retrospect of going through the same thing that Trump is going through, that they will be allowed to reduce to not already be locked up until his date. I mean, there's no way. I mean, you have a lot of African American stars, some of them multi-million, and the second that they do wrong, the cuffs get slapped and they are gone. And it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But you get somebody like Trump, again, proving that he's fraudulent, that he's a thief, that he's switching money all around, that he's convincing people of false things, that he can come up and actually get reduced to 175 where he was at 5. That, how fair is that? But again, that's the system.
Well, that's right. And again, I suspect that most people in his situation, of course, nobody would be in his situation. But if somebody were staring at a $500 million bond that they had to put up because of a court decision, a lot of people, maybe they'd have power, maybe they'd have good attorneys, but they would be able to get it knocked down a little bit like Trump did. All I'm saying is, in the case of Trump, it shouldn't have happened. I mean, that these people should know, these courts, these judges, everybody should know that if you give him one little bit of room to wiggle, he's going to do things to you. I mean, he was out there today calling the judge names, calling everybody in the court names.
Beyond disrespectful.
Oh.
Beyond disrespectful. And to me, he's trying to make it out as a racial thing. He's been doing that from day one, but he swears up and down, I love blacks. You know, whatever. He done said a lot of things against us. A lot of people need to wake up. You know, all of those Black Lives Matter people, where are you now? Because this is the time that everybody should be coming together and see, understand, and realize who this man is, what he is capable of, and what he's going to do to our country.
Yeah. And by the way, he's out here saying right now two different things. Number one, which he always says, he says, oh, I love the Jews. I love them. You know, I support Israel, etc. At the same time, he's telling Jews that if they vote for Democrats, that they're bad Jews and that they hate Israel. So, you know, a lot of Jews are very upset about this. I mean, as a Jewish person, I'm frankly not upset because I expect it. I expect it. I don't just expect it from him. I expect it throughout the country. You know, people say, oh, anti-Semitism is soaring. Not really. It's just coming out of the woodwork where it was hiding. The same as anti-Black stuff. I mean, there are people who despise Blacks, but in our era, in our time, they see all the famous basketball players. They see all the famous recording artists. They see all the famous actors. They see everybody out here in American culture who's Black, and they got scared. They didn't want to say things because they didn't think they could do it anymore. But they're saying it now.
I don't think that they're scared. And I'm gonna give you an example of what happened to me today.
Okay.
And I mean, just a few hours ago.
Okay.
I was in Clayton at the courthouse. And of course, you know, that little parking lot is full. So, you know, the little tiny parking lot is full. They had about 15 of the coin machines that didn't work. So I saw this African-American couple come out, and I'm apparently kind of like right by their car. And I said, can you tell me where you guys parked? They said, oh, this car right here. So I'm on the side of the car. I said, awesome, great. So I made a right, get behind the car, move up some, turn on my blinker, and so where they could see that I'm going backwards and put my car in reverse. And this Caucasian older woman pulls up on the side of me, and I roll my window down, and I said, ma'am, they just told me I can have their parking spot. No, the hell they didn't. And she pulled in my parking spot. I was like, I was so bewildered. I was like, oh my freaking God, you are a mean old lady. So when she got in her spot, I say, you know what? Why would I have a reason to lie to you? You are absolutely mean. I hope you are satisfied and have a wonderful day. That's all I can say to her.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what's going on in our country right now, everywhere. You know, you have people that are just mean. Their lives are so miserable that they're actually taking it out on everyone. I don't get it.
Well,
and it's our country. Our country, it comes from the top and it dwindles down like any other thing.
Well, they say that, you know, there's all this anger out here and that Donald has tapped into it in a way that other people have not been able to do. And it's not something to be proud of, but certainly it's demagoguery, but he has tapped into the anger and the hatred that you're describing. And he's done a great job of it. He's attracted Nazis and QAnon and, you know, all these different groups of people who are currently, you know, 800 of them sitting in a jail because of what they did in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And he has promised that he's going to let them all out if he can become president again. And so,
which he will.
Well,
he will.
Well, he would. He would. Look, he's not going to be president. I'm telling
you. I mean, I know. But if he had the chance, he will let them out. Every last one.
He would. I agree. Look, I have no doubt about that, but I just don't think there's even any sense in worrying because he's not going to be president. And I know, again, my brothers mm-hmm. say, yeah, that's what everybody said in 2016. Hillary couldn't lose. Well, you know what? It's not Hillary anymore. First of all, people have seen what Donald Trump is. They've dealt with it. The man is going to be convicted before we even get to the election. And remember, mm-hmm. he's got three other cases coming behind it. So anybody who thinks that he can't be convicted when they see he's convicted on the first one will recognize that it's coming one, two, three more times. And do we want to subject the country to that?
People believe what they want to believe, and people see what they want to see.
Yeah.
It could be sitting right in their face. And, you know, I always say a duck is a duck. You can name it Fred, but at the end of the day, it's still a duck. I mean, it ain't going to change. It's not going to change. And, you know, I'm a firm believer. People do see what they want to see. They hear what they want to hear. So they take all of that in and they manipulate it to be what they want.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, Trump has that way of manipulating people to that level to where they believe what he's saying.
Yeah. But they are generally poor people on farms who think that they're being taken advantage of by the elites. And I'm telling you, there aren't enough. There really aren't enough of them. Now, I'm not saying there aren't some educated people who have been conned into this. I don't even know why. I can't explain that one. But right. but I know this. I know that we've got a system that operates one way, and then there's a Russian system that operates a separate, different way. And we know that Donald is part of the Russian system. We know it because of the Mueller report in great detail. And we've seen it in the Oval Office with, you know, Lavrov and all those other people getting all those documents and doing the high five with Donald with information that they shouldn't even have anywhere close to them. American journalists being prevented from going into the Oval Office, but the Russian journalists were allowed in.
I really want to get into this Russia and ISIS thing. But before we do that.
Yeah, I know.
Aren't you a little hungry?
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. You know, you go through all this Donald Trump talk and you get hungry just through all the effort, the energy expended. But in any event, any way you cut it, you can't beat the food at Wendy's. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road, and that's in Chesterfield Valley.
Right.
And Stephanie, let me tell you, some of this stuff you probably like, or no, some of the stuff you probably eat. I love it all. I just don't eat it all. But but I'm going to tell you, for example, well, first the pizza, and then the wings and, you know, the different smoked meats that they've got. I mean, all of that's exceptional food. Everybody loves it. I mean, if I ate all that all the time, I'd be 9,000 pounds and I don't want that. So, you know, but there's lots of great stuff there and, you know, patty melts and cheeseburgers and onion rings, which, you know, are not exactly low calorie, but I love them too. Yeah. Right. All great food at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. I love Wendy's and everybody else will too. And again, you know, with our family, based businesses, and you've got Ben sitting right there and you go in and you know, Ben is just great guy. And it's those kind of people that encourage everybody to keep coming back for great food. And so again, that's Wendy's in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, you can get great jewelry if you go to 4506 Hampton in St. Louis. And that's Jewels on Hampton. And I saw Al and his son AJ this week, and they were hard at work sifting through all the jewelry that they've taken in recently. And boy, do they take in some jewelry. But they also put it out. They sell great pieces that they create themselves. I mean, they're very creative. And also they'll do whatever you ask them to do as well. And they'll, if you've got a 44-year-old or 45-year-old, whatever it is, Seiko gold watch like I've got, they'll fix that for you because they fix watches. They do everything. They're great.
How long have they been around?
A long time. I don't know the exact years. I'll find that one out. But they've been there a long time. They're very good. They're very highly regarded in St. Louis. And again, Al is just a terrific person to do business with. He just is. He's a great guy. They know the jewelry business, and they'll certainly take care of people that show up there. And all you got to do, if I go, I'm going to tell you, I would ask for Al. And if he's not there, ask for AJ. And they're going to take great care of you. And it's at 4506 Hampton, coins and jewelry, both. And that's Jewels on Hampton. Now, you like my yellow today, huh?
Of course.
Okay. Now, you know,
it's a nice blend.
Yeah.
I like that tie a lot.
Well, you could get this. Here's the thing. This is a very nice tie. You can get it at the St. Louis Suit Company for $5, which is probably a good choice. Or you could go to Donald Trump because, you know, the Trump ties. He'll sell you one of these ties, the exact same tie. He'll sell it to you for $50.
One more.
Well, at least 50. And then when you put it around your neck, you don't know it's got a special thing in it. It comes together and chokes you. So, yeah, it's a special thing that Donald, you know, prepares for his customers because he loves people. He just loves them, you know. Anyway, but the St. Louis Suit Company really does love people, and they'll take great care of you in the suits and the ties and shirts and shoes, everything, you name it. Now, I'm sorry to say, you know what I wear. You know the shoes I wear, Steph. You know, I wear
your Converse.
Chuck Taylors. That's right. And the thing about my Chucks, you can't get Chucks at the St. Louis Suit Company. That's just not the deal. They don't do tennis shoes. But they do everything else that you would expect at a great suit company. They've been there for 29 years. And I love Jay and Nick. They take such good care of everybody who comes in. And that is the St. Louis Suit Company on Forsyth and Central in Clayton. 29 years. Check them out. And if you are looking for clothes for a wedding, that's their specialty for sure. St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. Now,
awesome.
Let me say this, Steph, before we get to some of the other details in things going on here. I'd like to hit some of the more general things that are going on out here that are worth thinking about. First of all,
okay,
there's a great interview that was out yesterday on Meet the Press with Justice Breyer. And, you know, Justice Breyer is 85 years old. And first, he seemed really sharp in those interviews. I mean, really sharp. Joe Biden would love to look like Breyer because I'm telling you, people would not be worried about his age, but he can't help it. He can't help how he looks. And he's got some issues with some of his slurred speech here and there. But I can tell you right now, Breyer was just sharp as a tack. He was great. And he made all the appropriate points. And of course, even in the way he did it was so interesting. He would not comment on any of the cases because it's inappropriate. He's a recent sitting judge. He wouldn't do it. He didn't do it. He told Kristen Welker he wasn't going to make news, even though, you know, she wanted news, but he couldn't make it because it's not their role. And he stuck within his role, and he showed what it meant to be a very, very fine Supreme Court justice. He, like he said, He could do the job right now. And he misses it. He said he missed it. And that was appropriate to say as well. He said that, you know, a 20-year term on the Supreme Court would be okay because people would come in expecting to serve for a long period of time. It doesn't have to be for life, but it could be for life, but it doesn't have to be. So he talked about all of those things. I just think that people should see his interview in order to understand what the importance is of our courts and how valuable it is to have honorable people who really care about the law and really care about our country and who are reliable when it comes to following the Constitution of the United States. And I'll tell you, it was just a pleasure for somebody like that to see him on television yesterday and to realize how great this country really is when it comes to our legal system. So that was one thing. I just thought it was important to make that point. The other thing that I think is worth thinking about is the situation with Ronna McDaniels. Are you familiar with what's going on there?
Refresh me.
Yeah.
Because I watched a whole lot of stuff for the last 48 hours.
I'll give you all this. This is a good one. So Ronna McDaniels was the head of the Republican RNC, National Committee. And she was involved with Donald in trying to convince electors to overturn the election by voting the fake way, not for Biden, but to switch and vote for Trump, claiming that everything was rigged and that the ballots were false and that they had been stolen and they had been ripped up and done, you know, bad things to every story that they could imagine. Yes, they told that story. And Ronna McDaniels was involved. Now, subsequently, she's been thrown off the RNC because Donald wants his daughter-in-law to be in charge. Okay. So neither here nor there. But the point is that Ronna McDaniel is complicit with all of these people in every bad act that Donald Trump has pushed forward to try to steal the election from Joe Biden. And despite that, NBC has hired her as a political commentator and a regular member of the rotating crew of people that go into MSNBC to participate in the programs. And the thing is, here's what happened yesterday, and this is what I'm so proud of. On Meet the Press, they brought in Chuck Todd, who is the former number one person for Meet the Press. So he was on the panel. And of course, Kristen Welker, who's new and great. But when I say new, I mean she's a seasoned reporter who has, as she says, learned a tremendous amount from Chuck Todd. And anyway, they had a conversation about Ronna McDaniel and the hiring by NBC. And let me tell you, they kicked NBC's butt. They made it clear that they thought what was done was horrible and that they weren't going to be silenced and that they weren't going to allow this to take place without having their protest heard. And they also made clear all the other people that are part of the journalism community who were likewise just, they couldn't believe it. They were flummoxed by the whole thing. How could this woman be hired by MSNBC when she denied that the election was fair, that she even was one of these people who was saying that Joe Biden is not the legitimate president? Now, she's saying he is now. And believe me, even then they had to squirm it out of her. I mean, they asked her questions all different ways, and believe me, she wasn't going to quickly acknowledge what the situation really was. She really fought it, and eventually she acknowledged that Donald Trump is not the president, that Joe Biden is, and that what those people did on January 6th, that it was a bad day. But believe me, she was one of the people on the other side of this, and it just destroys credibility to have her representing journalism as if she were telling the truth, when we all know that she's been part of this whole scheme to overthrow our government. So, you know, I just thought it was great that the NBC reporters stood up, would not take what happened without having their voices heard. They made it clear that the journalistic community is not happy. And the reason I also bring this up is, I say this all the time, you know, when Donald runs around calling the newspapers the enemy of the people, which is a horrible thing, because we have kids out here who have never even touched the newspaper, and they need to. And it's so essential that these newspapers be part of our system of providing information so that everybody really can make a decision with full knowledge of what's happening in the world.
And yeah, because they have all these electronic things, iPads, iPhones, watches, galaxies, whatever. They all work together, and they're on Twitter and Instagram and everything, Facebook, more of an amusement thing than they are trying to educate themselves on what's going on around them, what's going around politically, that matters in their life every single day.
Yep.
It's kind of sad.
Well, and the other thing is that Ronna McDaniels used a phrase when she was talking about why she went along with Trump. She commented that she was taking one for the team, that she was going along with what she knew was not true, because she was trying to be a good member of the team. And the problem, of course, is that the team was trying to overthrow a United States election. The team was trying to prevent the transfer of power, which every president, 45 presidents transferred power peacefully, but not one. One guy did not want to allow it to happen. And if he gets his chance, he's going to do it again. And he's already said he's going to do it again. And that's the other thing. He says he's going to do it, and then he backtracks and says, I never said it. But he did. He said all of it. He said he was prepared to terminate the Constitution. They all say, Donald Trump never said that. That never came out of his mouth. We've got the tape. The man said it. But they say it never happened. And look, that's strictly the playbook of one of his heroes. We know it's his hero because we've heard it from his ex-wife, and we've heard it from his chief of staff. And here's what it was. Adolf Hitler. That's what he said. So,
you know what?
You know,
his whole slogan about let's make America great again or whatever, it's really, let's make America white again.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Let's make it white. And if people don't, if you're a human being and have blood flowing through your body and you in your right mind and your right senses, and you're not a prejudiced person, you see people for their heart and see people for who they are, then you should know by now, with all of this stuff with Trump, that he has one thing on his mind. He has one weight on his mind. So don't think that you are not one of his victims, because he's coming for everybody. If you have a little bit of something in your system, a little bit of Jew, a little bit of Black, a little bit Hispanic, a little bit of anything but Russian, then he's coming for you. And I don't think anybody in America is 100% white. Nobody is. Yeah. Everybody need to go get a DNA test, a genetic test,
right,
and see exactly what you made of. Because I can tell you, there's multi-million of you all that you don't even know, and not a word that you have a little bit of Black in you. You have a little bit of Black in you.
Hey, look, Stephanie, there are enough people killing themselves already. I don't want to spread this too much because we don't want-
It is what it is.
We don't want mass suicides, but you know, let
it's reality though. Yeah, well, it's reality.
They don't want to hear.
But before we go, because we got 7 minutes, yeah, let's touch on this Russia.
Yeah,
this Russia and ISIS thing.
Yeah, and that was the next place I wanted to go. And let me tell you, I want to say one thing first, and then have at it.
Okay.
I'm so again proud of the United States government, which, believe me, throughout my life, I have protested many ways and times against things that we've done. And there are a lot of things about our government that I don't like, and most of it has to do with what we've done to Black people in America. It's the crime of our country from 1619 to the present. It's worse than anything that the country could have ever imagined that it was going to do. It's just a terrible thing. The Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. recognizes the Jewish Holocaust and the Black Holocaust as well. So it's a horrible thing. However, recognizing that we've got lots of serious problems, we've killed people, we've murdered dictators, we've murdered people who are friends that we didn't like. I mean, everybody. Okay. So here's the deal. Prior to the ISIS event, the United States had information that ISIS was going to attack in Russia, and specifically at one of these entertainment venues. Our government took that information to Russia. We told them, we said, look, we have intelligence that this is coming, and we want you to be prepared so that your people don't get hurt. And not only did the Russians refuse to believe it, but they mocked us for it. Huh. And then they ended up with this. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They ended up with this, and I'm just a little bit terrified, because with Trump and Russia being so close, and in America, it's you're innocent to proven guilty. And there's episodes, and there's a whole bunch of them where an individual, especially when it happens to you, killing a police officer, where you might get a little beaten every now and then while you in jail. That's just that's true, and that's reality. But what I saw that Russia did to those gentlemen was crazy. Not take them to trial first, but you beat them to you couldn't even notice their face. You cut off one of their ears and fed it to them. Who does that? I'm terrified to the point that if Trump were to get in office and his relationship stays as tough as it is with Russia, what's going to happen to our country? What's going to happen to your children that do something wrong. And yes, they have to pay for it, okay? But at the end of the day, you want your child's ear cut off? Are we one of those third world countries that you cut off a hand because you stole some bubble gum? You cut off your head. You stand in front of the shooting gallery. I'm truly concerned. So that's another thing where people need to rise up, come together, and understand what is happening around us.
Stephanie, I mean, I think that's a perfect point. I don't think you could say it any better. You know, again, I started the show. We were, you know, talking about the Constitution not being a suicide pact. And yet on the other side of the coin, we do provide a habeas corpus for prisoners who are terrorists. The people down at Guantanamo Bay, there was a very important case, Boumediene versus Bush, and in that case, the Supreme Court said, you cannot take those people down there and hide them and not tell them why they're there and provide them with attorneys to defend themselves. You can't do it. It's against the United States Constitution. If they come within United States territory and you put them in Guantanamo Bay, that's United States territory, then you've got to provide them with United States rights. It's the way it is.
They have one gentleman that they have in custody, and even seeing his, that, and I think that's the one that they had in the wheelchair, 19 years old. And after they beat all of them, the three confessed. The fourth one, he swears up, even after the beating, seeing what they did to everybody else, he to this second says he was not a part of that massacre. But he was not, again, innocent until proven guilty. This man is now in a wheelchair. We in America, we have went through a whole lot of mass shootings, a whole lot of mass shootings. We find them, we incarcerate them, we prosecute them, and we either do two things. We have life in prison, or we will have the death penalty. But to beat the sleeves off of these men, what are you getting out of that? That is torture. That is 1,000% torture.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And unfortunately, it is the reason that we provide Donald Trump with his constitutional rights, even though it makes us sick because we don't want the Constitution to be a suicide pact. But on the other hand, we do have to provide due process to people, because if we don't, I assure you of this, Stephanie, they'll do it to us. They'll come and do it to us. They'll do it to us for getting in front of a microphone.
Yep.
Okay. So again, I want to remind you, this program brought to you by St. Louis Suit Company.
Yeah.
I'm just going in the backward order.
Okay, go.
Yeah. Jules on Hampton. And Wendy's. So, you know, you play games here, Steph, and you know, you thought we were going to go in the regular order, and I wasn't doing it, and you know, I'm sorry I play games too much, but it's like the kids all in school say, you do too much, Case, and you know, I know.
That's all right.
I know the whole story.
You've been my guy,
yeah,
my heart for forever, so I get you.
Okay, well, let's see what Donald gets between tonight and tomorrow. And okay, we'll be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
At 4 o'clock.
Stephanie Harmon.
Yes, sir.
I'm Mark Kaysen. This is
Showdown. Good night.
Good night.